right. Well, right now, joining us on the Hooters hotline, as promised, Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. He's a Buccaneers icon, an NFL icon. We're happy to have him. It's Doug Williams. Doug, welcome to the Fan.
Good morning. Good to be there. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I know you've had a busy night and a busy day, so we appreciate you taking the time, Doug.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure.
Doug, before we maybe talked about some modern day stuff, you've got this incredible documentary going on NFL.com that they're about halfway through, which is titled Skin Deep, and it's the story of your life as a growing and emerging football player through racial adversity and stereotypes. And how did it come about, and what really prompted you to sit down and do this, and what were your feelings about the whole project?
Well, they called me a few months ago, knowing that this was leading up to the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl, and wanted to talk about how I got there, my life, and things I had to go through in order to get there, and what it was like growing up in the South and being able to accomplish the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl and to win.
And, it really, just as a Buccaneers fan, it was a great education for me. You're really, diving deep into, a lot of the things that you had to endure and your experiences with Eddie Robinson. What was interesting to me was the story in there that's woven in there about Marlon Brisco, with him being the first African-American quarterback in the NFL and then losing his job and not being considered as a quarterback anywhere else. Was he somebody who you had any dealings with early in your career, and had he reached out at all, or was there any sort of community of African-American quarterbacks that sort of stuck together back in that time in the 70s?
Not really. I knew him, Marlon, but the guy that I had constant contact with, the guy that helped me from a mentor standpoint, was actually James Harris, who actually ended up throwing passes to Marlon Brisco once he went to Buffalo. James was drafted by Buffalo in 1969. So basically, that's the guy that, I had constant conversation with, because he went to Grambling, and when he came back to campus, we talk about the real life and things that was going on in the NFL, but he never came back and say, being black, that you didn't have a chance. It wasn't about that. All he ever told me was, it's all about ability. If you can get it done, eventually they're going to give you an opportunity. And at the end of the day, that's what really happened.
Now, we're talking with former Bucs quarterback and NFL icon Doug Williams. Doug, in that documentary, you spoke, they briefly touched on how you used to get inappropriate mail in Tampa, and you told the story of how you once got a watermelon in the mail and how you learned how to avoid and throw out mail that had no return address on it because you knew it was hate mail. Can you give any kind of perspective to the Tampa listeners here? How often an occurrence was that? Was that just like once a month, or did you get a bag of mail every week?
Well, you really didn't know, and the thing about that too, just like you and I on this radio today, and when stuff like that is written, you give people the opportunity to make comments about it. And you can see that we still got a long ways to go about some of the comments people make sometimes, because they didn't have an opportunity to walk in your shoes, so they don't really understand what you went through. But as a young player in Tampa back in the day, you got the mail, and you didn't think about where the mail come from. It was just a matter of you was getting mail. You thinking that they writing to you, talking about, being a part of the team and things like that. But when you get mail with no return address, I learned very quickly that the possibility, 99% of that mail with no return address, was some cowardly way of telling you what they think about you, not as a quarterback as much as the race. And that was the bad part about it. You can talk about how bad I was as a quarterback or what have you, but when you put race into it, I think it's a personal vendetta more than ability.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Hall of Fame, of course, the voting was last week, and Warren Sapp got in on the first ballot, and there was, a lot of attention around the Hall this time of year. And watching all the segments so far of the documentary on you on NFL.com, I started thinking that, maybe it's time that the Hall of Fame really sort of start to take into consideration all of the racial you know, a hatred and adversity that yourself and others before you and after you dealt with, and maybe come up with some sort of special way to honor you in the Hall of Fame if they're not going to vote you straight in. Do you have any feeling on that or thoughts about
it? No, you know what? I'm not one from a sentimental standpoint. And at the end of the day, you know, when people have to make decisions on your life, that you realize that those are things that you can't change. I can say one thing that Bruce Allen, who's the general manager of the Washington Redskins, when he was in Tampa, me and him had a great conversation about the history of the National Football League. And the one thing that he told me was some of the criteria as far as being in the Hall of Fame, one of them was, could we write the history of the National Football League and exclude that individual? He said, there ain't nowhere in the world you can write the history of the National Football League and keep you out of it. You know, he said, so that alone is, when you look at it realistically, you know, people remember the Super Bowl. They don't remember playing in Tampa for 5 years, going to playoff three of those years, and after I left, they did not revisit the playoff again in 13 years. Not saying that's because of me.
Sure.
But the fact that they didn't revisit until Tony Dungy became the head coach after 13 years.
And, you know, speaking of what you meant locally here, you know, maybe you don't want to talk about it, but, you know, the Ring of Honor that's there, you know, I know you sort of left on a little bit rocky ground with when you left the Bucks. You know, is that an honor that's important to you to get into that Bucks Ring of Honor?
Well, you know, you say I left on rocky ground. I don't know what was so rocky about the ground. I did know that the the guy that was running the ship, the general manager, I know that I wasn't one of his favorites because a lot of things we didn't see eye to eye, and he wanted to make sure that, you know, his buddy Dennis was taken care of because, you know, it all started a couple years before when the Buccaneers signed A.B., Antonio, what's his last name? I forgot his name.
Antonio Bryant.
Right, Bryant, and Dennis made a statement, him and Mark, said that that was the worst signing in Buccaneer history, and I just wanted to know why, and they was talking about his character and all that. And I disagreed with him, and he thought that that was a big blowout between me and Dennis, but it wasn't a blowout. It was two people's opinions. And even a year after that, when he became general manager, you know, he gave Antonio Bryant another $10 million franchise. So for that to have been the worst signing in Buccaneer history, and then you come back the next year and give $10 million, something wrong with the statement before that. You know, things like that would cause you not to have a good relationship. And you know, we never went head-to-head. And when the opportunity came and he said that he wanted to go a new direction and being the general manager and the owners backing him, he certainly gave him opportunity to do that. But I certainly hope that I'm not in the Ring of Honor because of any personal vendetta, because that's not what the Ring of Honor should be about.
We're talking with former Bucks quarterback Doug Williams, and I agree with you there, and thanks for the education. You know, we hear what we hear, we read what we read in the newspapers, and you know, it's good to hear some clarification, and you need that good give and take, that disagreement when you're in a front office. You know, that's important stuff to have. Doug, Josh Freeman, you know, obviously the feature on you on NFL.com is about what you had to endure as an African-American quarterback. Do you think we've come far enough where Josh Freeman, in Tampa Bay, in a town that you know very well, do you think he has to deal with any sort of residual, racial opinions on him?
Well, first of all, you know, let's clear a couple of things up here because, you know, when they was doing this documentary, one of the person that they wanted to interview was Josh Freeman, and the guy, the PR guy in the Bucks office, made sure they understood that Josh Freeman was considered an African-American, you know. So with that, that's one of the reasons why he didn't appear in the documentary, because they say that he wasn't, and he didn't want to do the interview. So, you know, and I look at it different, and Josh and I had a decent relationship, and, you know, Josh's father is African-American, his mom is white, so sure. We understand what America has always been. And you can put it in a new category all you want, mother race, or what have you, biracial. But at the end of the day, you know, I grew up in Louisiana, and I knew what the rules was in Louisiana. And basically the rules the same way all across the country. But Josh, it's going to be scrutinized probably in the category of a, of an African-American quarterback if they want to. But I think we passed that, and Josh going to be scrutinized on what he does as the quarterback of the Buccaneers, and I think that's the way it should be judged. But I can honestly say, you know, I can't think of anybody else at this particular time could be the quarterback of the Buccaneers that's going to do better than what Josh Freeman has done.
No, I absolutely. And I appreciate your take on that. And that is definitely interesting that Freeman declined there. But, you know,
I don't think it was Josh, you know, and that's right. What I'm saying. I think it was more or less a protection of Josh. You know, sometimes Josh might not even know that the invitation was out there for him, but you got people that are in position that they get the information before he does, and they're the one that declined it, I think.
And Doug, taking you into modern times, obviously you're coaching at Grambling State. Are you enjoying that? Do you want to get back to the NFL on a coaching level? Can you talk about how your coaching career is going right now and what your goals are?
No, I've always been one to understand that you do what you're doing to the best of your ability while you're doing it. I can't think about what can happen tomorrow and can't worry about what happened yesterday. I'm the head coach at Grambling State University, and that's my job, and that's the one I'm going to concentrate on.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time today, Doug, for taking your busy time here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fan. We've been encouraging everybody to go to NFL.com and watch each stage of Skin Deep, the documentary on you. It's, if nothing else, it's an extraordinary education, and I think you did a great service by making yourself available to educate Bucs fans and NFL fans everywhere.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug. Doug Williams on the Hooters Hotline on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fan.